is there's no doubt that arms manufactured elsewhere have found their way into Iraq. That in and of itself, of course, is not evidence that the Iranian government is behind it. And I really think, you know, there's an element here of insult to the Iranian intelligence to say that, that they are involved in this when it's clear that they would have no reason to do it themselves. Now it's possible that the...
Well, now you say it's clear. Why is it clear?
Well, I mean, I think that, first of all, we have the obvious fact that the United States has not been able to come up with a single piece of direct evidence to show that Iran, the Iranian government, is involved in this trafficking. They have had now more than a year. They have detained hundreds, I would say thousands, of Shiite militiamen and commanders over that period of time. They have not been able to come up with a single case in which they could link those people directly to the Quds Force in trafficking arms. And in fact, you know, once in a while you'll see peeking through the cracks in the propaganda line, the truth emerges, that, where they admit that we have not been able to come up with any Iraqis who we could show directly connected with the Quds Force involved in trafficking arms.
Well, now, part of that interview with Senator Eben Bey, who is now on the short list of the VP nomination, when we were talking with him, he said, when we said, well, what about the reports? And he said, oh, there's numerous reports. They're out there. You're just not looking hard enough.
Well,
we haven't found them.
The fact is that the reports...
Have you found them?
The reports that are in the media are simply parroting their stenographic reports of what is being said by American officials. I mean,
that sounds a lot like October 2002.
Well, I think that there is a parallel here. Starting in August of 2002, as many of your viewers know, the White House Iraq group was, you know, assiduously, carefully putting forward a series of planned media events, planting stories in the media, which then were picked up by the political elite and became the received wisdom, the received understanding of the reality about Iraq, about weapons of mass destruction. I think that is what the Bush administration has now had more than a year, has had a year and 3 months to do with regard to Iran's role in Iraq. I think this is indeed the equivalent in the case of potential war against Iran, the kind of casus belli that was created in late 2002, mid to late 2002, to justify going to war on the basis of weapons of mass destruction against Iraq.
Does it seem to be going anywhere? Or is it circling? I keep hearing from officials, and as Jihan Hafiz reported, it just seems like every week there's more officials coming out saying, we got to do something. Representative Filner was standing side by side with the MEK, a listed U.S. terrorist organization that has dedicated themselves, according to their own people, to the overthrow of the legitimate government of Iran. And our representatives, over 200 of them, standing side by side with them.
Well, there's no doubt that the administration and its right-wing allies...
Well, no, wait. No, it's not just right-wing. Filner is Democrat. Eben Bey, Democrat. I mean, I don't...
Well, let me finish my sentence. Well,
when
no
you
doubt
say right-wing, let's make it clear.
There's no doubt that
Republican,
the administration and the right-wing allies of the administration have been successful in selling this idea across the spectrum of Republicans and Democrats. They have indeed assembled a very broad coalition within Congress to support basically covert operations against Iran and to legitimize the MEK, the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, as an instrument of U.S. power. And that, I have to believe, is a tribute to the work of AIPAC in Congress. It's a very powerful, very influential organization. They have been able to manipulate Congress successfully, not just this past year, not the last couple of years, but for the past 10 years with regard to U.S. policy toward Iran. Every single piece of congressional legislation that has to do with Iran has in fact been sponsored, has been pushed by AIPAC, the pro-Israeli lobbying arm in Washington and in the United States. So there's no doubt that they are behind this move to legitimize the MEK right now.
And when you talk about AIPAC, there's been a criticism has been brought up over the last couple of years, regards to an article that you wrote that Israel didn't want war with Iraq. They only wanted war with Iran. Do you ascribe to that, or is there a misunderstanding there?
Well, I think that I was perhaps lax in not pointing out that, I mean, what my story said was that the Israeli government, once they heard through their own sources in Washington, obviously, that the Bush administration intended to invade Iraq and take down the Saddam Hussein regime, they said, no, that's, you know, that's not the way to go. We need to attack Iran first. They're the main threat to Israel and to the rest of the world. But when the Bush administration said, no, we're going to do it, then very quickly, within a matter of months, very, very short time after that, the Israeli government fell in line and then did support, of course, going to war against Iraq. And I think what this shows is that the Israeli government is not a unitary actor. There are different viewpoints within the Israeli government. Ariel Sharon represented the tendency which viewed Iran as a greater enemy, but there were others in the Israeli government who believed that Iraq was the main enemy. And I think both of those tendencies were obviously in play during that period of late 2002, early 2003. So I should say early 2002 up to early 2003. So they're not in contradiction with one another. I mean, the two facts are not in contradiction with one another. I think there are two tendencies in contradiction with one another.
Okay. Thomas Donnelly, he's been a guest on some of our programs. And I was reading one of your articles that Thomas Donnelly was part of drafting this whole strategy of getting ready for a nuclear Iran.
Well, Donnelly had a very interesting background, of course. He was one of the key drafters of the 2000 PNAC, the Project for New American Century, defense paper, which advocated the United States having a permanent military presence and obviously hinting that that presence should be starting in Iraq once the United States was able to take down Saddam.
And how did this bring in Iran?
And then, of course, you know, the idea, which was not explicit, but which we now know was the neocon plan, was to use Iraq to threaten to invade Iran, Syria, and other countries in the region. Whether they actually did so or not was still open to, you know, circumstantial, to the circumstances. But Donnelly was certainly part of that group that intended to use Iraq as the jumping off
point. You charge in one of your papers that he was actually one of the main drafters.
But that's right, exactly. He was a drafter in 2000 and continued to be very close to the Bush administration's policy. But he made the very interesting point, which I quote in the article that I wrote a couple of years ago now, that that the Bush administration's problem with Iran having a nuclear weapon, potentially, was not that it thought that they would ever use it, but that it would stand in the way of the United States planning to basically use military force or the threat of force to essentially take down a series of regimes.